You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry!
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from 2 people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. So Jerry was vacationing last week, and he joined us, but I have not heard from him this week. So I don't know what his story is. He might be big-timing us now.
Shut your yap, Hayes, you pigeon, because Jerry's here and I made it just in time. I was showing Alex Petrangelo all my favorite spots in Vegas, and you know exactly what that means. I'm not talking about gambling, body rubs all around. And one more thing before we get started. If you clowns ever try to embarrass me like last week with that ridiculous tatty Jerry's percentage, I'm done forever. You've been warned, like Philip Pritchard was in Chicago.
We're on notice. Jerry, not happy with the attitude of us on this show.
Yeah, really?
And Tapman, I don't know why Tapman gets dragged into this silliness and immaturity, but he does. And okay, I guess that it's a big show this week now, Jonas. You better not ruin this. We've been talking to Jerry for a long time. So,
yep. I think we got something wrong last week. He didn't finish one of his questions, right?
That's exactly what it was.
That's right.
Yeah. I forgot about that, but that's what it was. We jammed up Jerry with the Tapman Tom Brady thing, and then it just cut out. And he's not happy about that. So I guess we're all on notice, including Mullen and the Grappler and everyone involved. You guys ready for the hot takes?
Ready to rock.
Let's do it.
Ilya Mikheyev, who I'm sure superfan Jonas thinks will be better than Ovechkin somehow, will average at least half a point per game for the next 2 seasons. That little pigeon Jonas is something else.
Jerry's not happy with you,
Jerry,
Jonas.
Taking shots from far. Yeah.
Calling you a super fan, that's very uncalled for.
Yeah, seriously.
So Mikheyev, a half a point per game over 2 years. So basically 41 points over an 82-game season times two.
I'm 46%. I'm close to 50. If he plays higher in the lineup, he'll get it. But if he third line minutes, then it might be tough.
The tough thing for him is he's not going to play on the power play, so everything is going to have to
be 5-on-5.
That's why I'm low on this too. I think he's going to be lower in the lineup, like third line. You know, he'll get some time. He'll move up and down, but he is not playing on the power play, and I'm not sure he's on the second power play with Thornton.
No, he's not.
Spezza.
No.
Simmons has been a power play guy throughout his career.
I think it's like 40%, maybe 45.
What did I say? I said 48. Like, I'm below 50, but I think there's a chance if he plays with good players, he might be playing with Thornton on the third line or Spezza or somebody like that, a 5-on-5, and get some points.
Yeah. I could see 15 goals a year and close to 40 points. Like, mm-hmm. That's kind of what 15, I think he is as a player. But I'll go a little bit lower than you guys just because I'm not comfortable going above that because I don't think he's going to do that. I'll say 39%, just underneath. It's not out of the realm of possibility. That's actually a pretty good take from Jerry. Like, that's around, a reasonable expectation. If he puts up 40 points, back-to-back years, the Leafs should be happy at 1.6, right? Because he's got some size. He can skate. I think he's a pretty good defensive player.
Yeah.
He's going to kill some penalties. Like, that'd be a good contract for 40 points.
Well, I've been thinking of him, like, if he can become close to Zach Hyman, that's about best case Zach Hyman, isn't it? 20 goals, 40 points.
He doesn't have that level of doggedness,
jam.
I don't think.
He doesn't have that jam. Like, Mikheyev isn't a guy that, I don't know if he's a puck retrieval guy. I think he can get there. Is he going to win all those physical battles? Like, I look at Hyman.
Best forechecker in the league.
Yeah, you throw Hyman into, you know, the corner. I would say Mark Stone is better, but Jerry's calling you a super fan. So
yeah, I know. What's up with that?
I know, but I
guess he can't read, or he doesn't read what I write.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But anyways, Hyman is one of the best. You're right. But I don't see Mikhaev as a guy who's a puck retrieval guy, and like Hyman is, where mm-hmm. he goes and gets it every
Not at
time.
That level, for sure. No. No way. All right, Jerry, what else do you have?
With Tua behind center, Jerry's jumping on the Dolphins bandwagon. Because they make the playoffs and they might just do damage. Kind of like Jerry at a karaoke bar on singles night. Oh, can Jerry sing a tune?
Jerry at karaoke night, singles night. I've never heard of that before. I didn't know that that was even an option. But I guess Jerry is into that kind of stuff. And he's on the Dolphins bandwagon. They're at 3-3. They're only a game behind the Bills right now. Do they make the playoffs with Tua, like Jerry is suggesting? How do we feel about that?
I'm below. I'm 41%. Like, I think Tua will have a big impact. I don't know. I trust Fitzpatrick. I don't know what Tua is going to bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty low on this, too. I just because I think the AFC is so good with Pittsburgh and Tennessee and Kansas City and Baltimore and Indianapolis is getting going. If Phillip Rivers just avoids turnovers, I think they're going to win 9 or 10 games. Cleveland's at 4-2. Like, they're not going to keep up with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, but I think Cleveland can still get to 8-8 or 9-7. And as much as the Bills have hit a hiccup, they're better than the Dolphins, in my opinion. I think they'll hold on to the division, so it's got to be a wild card. And I think there's just too much depth in the AFC. So I'm going to say 30%.
Well, and you can't count out the Pats, right? I know they're 2-3, but
yep.
I'll Price is Right you 29%.
Nice.
Whoa!
I pulled the same move on the Mikhaev thing. It's you got to eat. You got to eat on this show, Jonas. You got to get after
but
it.
But I
man.
Do think that Miami's good.
They're like, good.
They're just talent. Solid.
Mm-hmm. They're good. But Tua, I mean, you're taking a gamble. He's never started in the NFL.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Joe Thornton will start and play multiple games on left wing this season.
Starts like and play multiple games, so more than two. Two or more games for Jumbo on the wing.
I'll go 60. High. I think it's going to happen.
I would push him to the wing.
I think it makes sense. And I guess it just depends where you're using him. Like, are you going to use him just on a third line at left wing? Or play him the odd time, like I kind of think would be interesting with Tavares. But I think it's high.
Yeah, I'll be high on this. I'm 81%.
Woo.
Yeah. Well, I think he'd be better suited on the wing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's going to win draws, but I would push him to the wing just based on where his skating is at. And I know his skating's never been really an issue for him because he plays like that. But he also he's playing on a different team now. Like, Toronto wants pace. They want to, you know, get going in the neutral zone and stuff. The winger is an easier place to play than center.
Well, when he played with Pavelski, they kind of split the duties, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was, I think Pavelski more or less played up the middle of the ice, but if the draw was on the left side, Thornton would take it. If it was on the right side, Pavelski would take it. I could see something like that, although Matthews and Tavares both shoot left, so I don't know who would have the advantage over taking the draws, and Tavares is pretty good at taking draws as well.
Right.
But yeah, I could see it too. I think Sheldon Keefe is going to throw a lot of things at the wall. I think he's got a lot of different options. He's got a lot of different guys that have the capability of playing up the middle of the ice as well. So if we're just talking multiple games, I'm going to say 100%.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll say 100%. I mean, even if it's 3 or 4, right?
Yeah.
Like, just to give it a shot. That doesn't mean – I don't think it's going to be permanent. I think he will likely play up the middle of the ice for the majority of the season. But multiple games? Yeah. I could see it for sure.
Yeah.
Even with all the dysfunction and Mike McCarthy looking like Peter Horacek, the Dallas Cowboys will win the NFC East this season. Mike McCarthy's got a Scrabble face I've never seen before, and I've seen them all, folks.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy, even with a mask on, he's got a Scrabble face, which is tough. you know. But he looks confused, a little bit out to lunch. It's not good. It's not good. Yeah, Jerry thinks they're still going to win the division, which they're still technically leading right now at 2-4.
Yeah, I'm high on this because it's such a junk division.
Mm-hmm.
78%.
If 78%. They can actually,
yeah, I'm pretty high on it.
Okay, I like it.
Like, who's going to overtake them?
Well, Philly could still. I still
That's
think Philly is the
win.
One, right?
Yeah, I think Philly's going to win the division.
And how confident are you in Andy Dalton?
Well, I'm not overly confident.
I think
Carson
you like
Wentz.
The Red Rocket or Red Rifle.
Is that what they call them in Cincinnati, the Red Rifle?
Yeah, good nickname, eh?
Yeah, it's not bad. Anyone with red hair, they've got to have it. It's Red Rocket, Red Rifle,
yeah.
You know, Red Dragon.
Like, what did you call it? The Red Rocket?
Red Rocket was Matt Bonner when he was here because he got spotted on like a streetcar once. And it's like, oh, well, now he's the Red Rocket. Yeah, I think it's between them and Philly. Washington, I don't think, is going to be there. The Giants are just, they've been so bad for so long. And, you know, Barkley and the injuries that they've been dealing with to begin with. I'm going to say 49% because I think it's a coin toss between Dallas and Philly. And I think Philly's, I would give it to Philly, but just by a small percentage, 49%.
All right. I think I'm 60.
At least one of Jonathan Tays, Patrick Kane, or Duncan Keith will be traded by the Blackhawks by the beginning of the 2021-22 season. If I'm all three of them, I tell Stan Bowman to shove it up his ass and I'm out.
Interesting.
Harsh.
Yeah, that is harsh. And I don't know, the censoring, it was censored earlier and now that one slid. I don't know what's going on there. But one of them gone. So this will be the final season for all three of Keith, Kane, and Taze. But one of them, at least one, is out for the beginning of next season, the season after the one coming up.
I'm lower on this. I could see Keith just based on the money out the door. Like his cap hit, I think, is 5.5, but it's actually like $2 million of real money. So, but where would he go on that scenario? I'm low on this. I'm 28%, but I think one of them might say, give me the check, please, and I'm out.
Yeah, I was going to say 30. And I think the problem is, like, you look at those contracts for Kane and Taves, 10.5. Like, I could see some team that's close look at one of those guys and be like, yeah.
Oh, but Patrick Kane's still worth 10.5 a year.
Yeah.
All day. All day he's worth 10.
But how many teams are adding that?
Can put it that, yeah.
Yeah, that's an issue. I mean, I look at his hometown team, and they just handed Hall $8 million. You know, I think they could take on Patrick Kane at 10.5, but he's got a full no movement, full no trade. Does he want to go to Buffalo? You know, what would the trade look like? What's the I don't know. I mean, these are all different angles that have to come into play. And I'm pretty sure all three of them have full no trade, full no move, so they would control everything.
The two do, for sure. Keith is a modified, I believe. I was reading it yesterday.
Okay.
But
Keith,
yeah.
I could see flip because, you know, shorter term, smaller cap hit, pedigree can still skate.
That's the thing. Remember, we were talking about it in the 4 o'clock hour. Like, I think it doesn't matter. Like, if you could still skate in the league, I think you could still be productive.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I keep coming back to.
So I'm going to go pretty high on this.
Ooh.
Because I think Chicago's made it clear. Like, you know, the ownership and Bowman and company and Colleton's there. Like, Quinville was the beginning of we're going in a different direction. And it does, like, what happened in 2009, 2010 doesn't matter to us anymore. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Chicago would prefer to move them. Like,
right.
But
sure.
They know they it's tough because of the cap and the flat cap and the no movements and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to say 80%.
Wow.
Yeah, 80%. I wouldn't be, like, especially if it really gets ugly. Like, that tandem is so bad. Like, if they're going to be one of the worst five or six teams in the league for the next 2 or 3 years, and I don't know if they will be. Like, they were not going to make the playoffs this year, but they got in based on the return to play.
Right.
And they're a very young team anyway. But if they're going to even take another step back, if you're Jonathan Taves, Kane, like, you've given everything to that team, but do you just want to ride it out? I don't know if they do. I mean,
yeah.
Every player's different, and it'd be one thing if it was one guy who's like, I'm going through it, but if you're dealing with all three, all you need is one of them for this Jerry's to be like, I'm good with trying something new.
Right.
You know, they've all been there their whole careers. We'll save the rest for Jerry's After Dark. Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. So hopefully we pass Jerry's test and he will continue to join us. But we'll see. I guess we'll find out next Wednesday.